Hallelujah! Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God of peace, you brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. By the blood of your eternal covenant, make us complete in everything good, that we may do your will and work among us all that is well-pleasing in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Reading from Acts. Now in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, who heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 23 responsively. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.
The Lord makes
you restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake. Prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over.
Surely.
A reading from Revelation. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne, and around the elders, and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne, and worshipped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me. But you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. The Gospel of the Lord. What a week we've had, huh? The bomb blasts in Boston, a fire and explosion in that fertilizer plant in West Texas, the poison-laced letters and packages sent to our president and to others in our nation's capital. Sad and tragic things. There was also a tragic event in the church. A bishop in Wisconsin, driving drunk last Sunday afternoon, hit and killed a woman who was out for her training run. In the blink of an eye, lives were changed for hundreds and hundreds of people last week. One minute, everything is fine. You feel safe and secure, going about your own business without a care in the world, except worrying about what your team is going to do next week. And the next thing you know, all those past fears and the remembrances of terrors past, 9/11, shootings in schools, tsunamis, forest fires, all come rushing back. I'm sure that many people felt the way that I did as we listened to the news reports this last week. It seemed like there was just one big disaster after another. I almost didn't want to turn on the radio for fear of hearing yet another heinous act committed against innocent people. As a preacher, I am thankful for this church's discipline in the use of the lectionary. I want you to take out your hymnal and take a look just to see what we as a church follow as a lectionary. Look on page 18, the number at the bottom of the page, so it's in the beginning part of your Bible, or of your hymnal. On page 18, you see that each Sunday in the calendar has three sets of readings. So if you go to page here, each Sunday has three sets of readings, A, B, and C. Every Sunday of the church year and every feast day, festival Sunday, has a certain reading assigned to it. We're currently in year C. So we go all through year C from the first Sunday of Advent through the last Sunday of the church year, Christ the King Sunday in November. And that's a church year. So we're in year C. And if you turn to page 33, you'll see that we are in year C. And this is the fourth Sunday of Easter. At the bottom of the page there on page 33, you see that there are the four readings for that Sunday and the prayer that we have. I don't pick the scripture that we're using on any particular Sunday. I think that's a good discipline, that I don't get to duck out from hard readings. I can plan my vacation around those hard readings, but I can't skip them. And also, that helps you as well to know that I'm not planning the agenda for the church. We get the whole church. This is the Revised Common Lectionary that is used in English-speaking countries. And also in other countries throughout the world using the same lectionary. So you know that if you go to church today in any church that uses the lectionary, Lutheran churches, Methodists, some Methodist churches, Episcopal church, Roman Catholic churches, other lectionary-based churches, you will hear the same readings. So today, all across the world, is Good Shepherd Sunday. We hear these same readings in the church. And I think this is an encouragement for a preacher, at least, to know that I don't get to pick out what scripture is going to go for this week.
couple weeks ago, I looked ahead. You can put your books away. A couple weeks ago, I looked ahead and I saw that it's Psalm 23 for this Sunday. And I thought, good, this is an easy text. Everybody knows Psalm 23. And for many people, this is the part of the Bible that they put their finger on and say, this is my favorite part. This is my favorite part of the Bible. And we have such wonderful music with Psalm 23 used as a text. We will hear and sing some of that music today. We heard the children already. We'll hear the adult choir for the offering anthem, singing words based on, or songs based on this text. So I thought a couple weeks ago, this was going to be a rather easy sermon to prepare. But it doesn't always work out like that. You know, life happens. Things change. This week of events really changed how I needed to look at Psalm 23. The beauty and the comfort of seeing ourselves as little lambs snuggling with the Good Shepherd takes second place now to a focus on more in that psalm, the promise of God to be with us on our walk through the dark valley of the shadow of death. Psalm 23 is typically read as a psalm of comfort, and that's surely there, but there is still more. When we read this psalm today with the events of last week and of our current world in mind, there is a challenge to us. Listen to this line, "I shall fear no evil, for you are with me." The psalmist doesn't deny the reality of evil, nor the ability and the capacity of evil to wreak havoc in our lives. But the writer of this psalm takes a resolute stance that in the face of real evil, real threat, there is no fear. Not because the FBI is already on the scene, not because there is the capacity of surveillance methods that will allow the CIA to quickly identify and more effectively capture, not because heroes rushed in, risking their own safety to help those in need, not because the wrongdoers have been caught and they will never be able to hurt anyone again, not that, but rather because you are with me. This is the core biblical claim that there is only one God and that trust belongs to God. I shall fear no evil because you are with me. I shall fear no evil. You are with me. Jesus reminds us of that in the gospel text this morning that we heard from John's gospel. You are my sheep. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. When we forget this promise, we can get so overwhelmed in fear that we become frozen. Frozen in fear, afraid, and angry. But when we remember it, we are free. There's a second verse in that psalm that brings new significance in the wake of this week's events. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. If our first impulse in the face of terror is fear, our second impulse is vengeance. Just as the psalmist does not deny the reality of evil, neither does he ignore the reality that there are people in this world who intend harm. But it is important to notice that with the mention of the enemy, there is the claim in the same breath, the claim of the goodness of God and the abundance of God's mercy and love. before the enemy, there is God and abundant grace. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. The impulse to vengeance is short-circuited then by that deep awareness of grace. God invites us, as we talked about last week, God invites us to make a U-turn and to use the energy that would have been spent to exact retribution is instead now focused on blessing and thanksgiving. This isn't a turn the other cheek kind of text, but this text urges us to think, to pray, to create some space between the impulse of vengeance and the carrying it out. We need this space, this pause, this breath, to give us room to remember who and whose we are, to remember Jesus' promise to the sheep of his flock that no one can snatch you out of his hand. We are held secure, and we can trust in that promise, even in the face of our enemies, even when we walk in the valley of the shadow of death. I heard a report on the news this morning, an interview with the Boston mayor saying, we do take a breath, but we remember who we are. We're Bostonians. We remember who we are. We are Christians. We are the baptized believers. We are the precious children of God. Every day, hundreds and hundreds of people enter into the valley, enter into this shadow of death, taking with them family and friends. Last week, we saw these tragedies in Boston, in West Texas, Wisconsin, in Syria, in small and large countries across our globe. We saw people entering into the valley of darkness as they walked into a doctor's office and bravely, or not so bravely, met the enemy. We see this in doctor's offices and in AA meetings, in honest conversations in counseling offices, and over coffee with friends. Wherever your dark valley, wherever your enemies face you, remember the promise of today's scripture. You are my sheep. No one will ever snatch you out of my hand. So step back and remember, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Amen.